Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by TikTok. Tell me you're wasting half your day without telling me. Episode 248, introducing Ignite version 8, Maverick.
Robin, what's that racket I hear very clearly through my headphones right now?
Racket. You don't hear it very clearly, don't lie.
No, I don't. Actually, it's quiet. Are they done working in your house?
No, they were supposed to be done, but the plumber is here today.
Okay.
Reinstalling our faucets and sinks and stuff.
Oh, okay. That's probably quieter.
So there may be some noises, but hopefully not too bad.
It's not like they're drilling.
Unless he's checking, banging the pipe.
No, they're not like installing the flooring and the nail gun going and everything.
Okay. Yeah. How long has this been going on? Like it's been a couple weeks, 3 weeks?
Almost a month.
Oh, almost a month. Wow.
Yeah. We're doing some minor renovations at my house. New floors.
Refactors.
Refactors. New floors, new counters, new sinks and faucets. But we're not like knocking down any walls or anything crazy.
Robin's house 1.1.
Not if all goes well.
True. A wayward hammer might change that.
Yeah. Yeah. Depends on how your coding is going. The hammer might come from your desk.
That's true. That's true. Although I want to be careful because I don't want to ruin my new computer. No, that's no true. Hammers going anywhere
you
near.
You do have a new computer as well. Everything's kind of brand new here.
I finally got an M1 after Jamin made fun of me every single day. We're still having an Intel.
If I remembered, I would definitely do so. Yeah.
Yeah.
M1, I mean, that's just the way to go. Like,
It's so fast.
I'm just going to keep hiding in the bushes over here.
Oh, you still have an Intel? I'm shifting my attention.
2016.
Oh, no. Really?
No.
It works fine.
Oh, sure it does.
I don't think it does. I don't think you realize how well it doesn't work.
Until I do your
now it's Robin's job.
I know.
To heckle.
Yeah, I know.
Now I'm going to pretend like I haven't had an Intel Mac for the last 2 years.
Don't join that club, Robin.
Oh, but this
she has.
But
to.
It's so cool. It's so fast and so quiet.
I used an M1 for it was like a month on a client project, but it was fast. Yes, but it was only like 8 gigs.
You don't sound impressed. Yeah, no. This is the one I got.
It was
is
8 gigs,
like the max
of RAM. Yeah, exactly. And that's the only way you're gonna, I think, feel it.
Maxed out graphics, maxed out RAM, like everything.
It was like the lowest M1, and it was the first version of it, so you could only plug in one monitor.
Yeah.
And whenever you did that, it would go bonkers.
So, yeah, no, you want to get the latest.
Robin, you got a MacBook Pro, right?
Yes.
Okay, so M1 Max or M1
Max? I got the
tricked out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I don't have a MacBook Pro. I have a Mac Studio, like, which is sort of like the, I don't know, the large version of the Mac Mini.
It's
like
the desktop. It's
great. I love it. It's right underneath my like monitor and underneath the shelf.
If I was confident that I would be able to be at my desk all the time, maybe. But
that is the downside.
Yeah, I need the portability as evidence. Right. Like, I literally was working at my in-laws' house yesterday.
Yeah. Now that you have the M1, I think after a couple of years, it might make sense to get one of those and then just keep it there. And then you have the M1 for your portability.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like Intel Macs are just totally obsolete at this point. It's just not.
I can't believe I put up with so much fan noise.
I know, that's the thing. They get hot. Their
battery life's terrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
I didn't even have to charge yesterday. I just used it without plugging it in.
The battery life is good. I remember that. Yeah.
Anyway,
I guess I should get to intros.
Probably.
It sounds like Robin is prompting me to go that direction. I'm Jamin Holmgren, your host and friendly CTO of Infinite Red. I live in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. Just started raining today, so probably won't stop until May, with my wife and 4 kids. I play hockey. I drive my tractor whenever I get an excuse to. Sorry, Mark. I mentioned the tractor. Mark told me, stop talking about your tractor, but I had to mention it. It was in the bio. I had to read it. I am joined today by my lit co-hosts. We're getting a little modern, kind of. Not really.
Is that what the kids say these days?
That's what the kids
said like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Was it 10 years ago?
I mean,
I'm not with it as far as lingo.
So how lit really can you be?
I'm not. I don't know why. It's a lie.
Well, there's a reason we're using lit. Robin and Mazen are here. I'll tell you why we're using lit in a second. Robin Heitz is a senior software engineer at Infinite Red. She's located west of Portland, Oregon, with her husband and two kids, and has specialized in React Native for the past 5 years. Over on the other side of me, on Zoom, is Mazen Chami. Mazen lives in Durham, North Carolina, with his wife and baby boy. He's a former pro soccer player and coach, and is a senior React Native engineer also here at Infinite Red. That's why Mazen and I talk about sports all the time when we are doing warmers without Robin here, or sometimes with her here, much to her chagrin. This episode is sponsored by, and here's our new sponsor, Chain React 2023.
What?
Ooh.
New sponsor in the house.
Chain React. Chain React is returning in person this year. It is the only React Native conference in the U.S. It was the first React Native conference actually in the world in 2017. You should sign up for the Chain React newsletter to be informed when conference and workshop tickets are available at chainreactconf.com. It's going to be in Portland, Oregon, over by Robin and me, and 2023. So it's late May 2023. We'll get more information out.
And we'll be there.
But yeah, we're going to be there.
If you want to meet us.
Go to chainreactconf.com. Pause this right now. Don't forget to come back and unpause it. But go to chainreactconf.com and sign up for the newsletter, because you don't want to miss it when stuff comes out about it.
Mm-hmm.
We are still also sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next project, hit us up at infinite.red/React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. Robin, we also have three more sponsors. Can you read those ones? I'm just kidding. We only have two. All right, let's get into our topic for today.
Oh, is it bad that I just got your reference to lit co-hosts? It's been a long day already for me.
Thanks for that transition. That helps.
Great.
I literally just realized what's going on.
So the big news is that we released Ignite version 8, codename Maverick.
Woo, yay!
So that was an exciting one. It was a lot of work. Just a fantastic.
How many people were involved total?
You know, I don't actually have right in front of me exactly how many people, but it was a ton of people at Infinite Red, probably around, I want to say 10 or 12.
I would say most of the React Native team at Infinite Red was involved at some point.
To some degree, yeah. But in terms of like actually committing code, it was like at least half of them.
I know. I spent a couple weeks on it.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
We had some people more sort of dedicated to it in over the long term, and then other people would pop in and work on it for a little bit. But yeah, it was definitely a communal effort. So if you're new here, well, we should probably give a brief history of what Ignite actually is.
Yeah, good idea.
Ignite is our boilerplate. We would argue that it is the best React Native and most popular React Native boilerplate out there. But it's basically a starter kit for your app. So you can ignite a new app and then you automatically get our entire stack that we use here at Infinite Red for all of our client projects with components and state management, all that good stuff, the libraries that we like to use, as well as really cool generators for components, models, screens, navigators. So every time you need to add a new one of those, you can use a generator and it pre-populates stuff for you, which is really convenient. So yeah, Ignite completely redesigned almost from the ground up. So if you want to use what people at Infinite Red use every day, check it out.
Yeah.
The generator is a cool aspect of this. We're probably going to go deeper into this later, but I do think like most times when you're starting something new, you always have to create your X number of files, add it to your navigation and go through all that. Just a simple line will do that for you. And I even set up like the return for your render, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Ignite started in 2016. I mean, technically, probably 2015 was the origins of it. When we started two projects at the same time, they were our first two React Native projects. And Gant Laborde was leading one project, and we had another one of our principal developers leading another project, and they needed to collaborate on what are the best practices. And so they essentially built Ignite. Gant started that. in 2016, early 2016. And they started contributing back to Ignite what stack decisions they were making and all those things. And it's been through many iterations, been continuous development since then. Many, many versions, many, many different, you know, iterations.
Our stack has changed. Like
our stack changed. Yeah. In 2017, we switched over to a different state management. We went to TypeScript. There's a lot of like React Navigation became our primary. It was sort of like a whole, you know, revamp around that time. We called that Bowser. That was the code name. And now with there was another. So the main big releases was the first one, which we called Andros. The second one.
Did we call it Andros originally?
It was sort of retrofitted a little bit.
Yeah. Once we released Bowser, we're like, well, we should have a code name for the original too.
Yeah. Not that these code names matter. They're all Ignite.
They really don't.
They're just versions, you know. Andros was the original one. Bowser was the second one that has our kind of our more modern stack. And then there was Flame, which was kind of a rewrite of the internals to make Ignite be much easier to work on because it was a problem. The only person that really knew how to work on it was me at a certain point. Even Gantt had lost sort of track of where it was, and that was problematic. And then now Maverick is the biggest release that we've had probably in terms of effort since the initial version.
I think you just going through that timeline shows how battle tested. I think you like using that word when describing Ignite. Because most boilerplates that I see out there eventually die off. And then you see, you know, last commit 5 years ago or whatever, 3 years ago. This one has gone through an evolution and it's truly evolved as the technology has grown, as React has grown. Because 5 years ago, we did an episode on the gripes of React 5 years ago till now. 5 years ago, React till now looks completely different. So your boilerplate needs to keep going and keep evolving. And the fact that we use it on client projects, I think, Robin, you just started a new project with Maverick.
We had our first client project start with Maverick.
It was on a beta too, right? Like you started it early.
Yeah, it was still beta because we were starting and the beta hadn't released yet. So
we're so much faster and better when we use Ignite to start something up. When someone comes to us and they're like, hey, we already spun up our app and now can you help us? We're like, did you use Ignite? No?
No, okay,
that's why you're having problems.
We actually converted the app that they had already started. We started it over with Ignite.
Exactly.
Because that's how much we believe in it.
It's so much faster. You can move so much faster, so much better, fewer headaches, bigger community. There's just so much. Speaking of so much, we have a lot of changes to go through that we should talk about. If you're already familiar with Ignite, this will be super interesting. If you're not familiar with Ignite, we'll still try to put these in perspective, in context of what we had before. Ignite has always been really great to get your project off the ground. But now we've put a ton of time into it, modernizing it. One of the things I want to say, nothing makes it into Ignite unless we've used it on at least one client project, one full project, and have enough experience with it that we can say this works. And there've been a few exceptions to that and we've always regretted it. And we've backed those out of, you know, like, oh, we haven't actually used this, but we're going to put it in Ignite. And then we're like, no, that's not what Ignite is. Ignite is always supposed to be stuff that is battle tested, as Mazen said, something that we've used in actual projects that have shipped to the App Store and Google Play. So with that said, let's just kind of dive into it. When you first start a project, you can use NPX. So NPX ignite-cli and then the command new. So NPX ignite-cli new. And then our canonical thing is pizza app because one of the original apps that we were building when we were building Ignite was an app for a pizza chain.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Wait, you didn't know that? That's where that comes from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We built an app for a pizza chain up in Canada, which I won't name, but it's sort of a California kitchen style pizza chain. And you Canadians probably know what we're talking about. We built an app for them. And
I'm sorry, could you hear that?
No.
It's definitely on my recording, but it's fine.
Okay. Can't hear a thing.
It's definitely on the recording, so you guys have to talk for a little bit.
Okay, we will. So then Ignite walks you through the rest. And what's cool about the newest version, Maverick version 8, is that it has a full sort of like walkthrough. So before we would just make a bunch of assumptions about what you wanted, and then you could change it through flags. But now we actually explicitly ask, you know, what bundle identifier do you want? Where do you want to start your project? Do you want to initialize a Git repository? What package manager do you want to use? And then do you want to install the dependencies? There's some other stuff on the way as well that will probably land before this episode airs. So you'll see it when you spin it up. And so that's a big change that is not only that, but the output is just, it was already pretty cool. Ignite already had pretty cool output, but it's just been refined so much nicer.
I'm a big fan of those interactive CLIs. And mm-hmm. I just ignited an app this morning because we were doing this podcast.
Yeah. You know,
I've done it before. But
first time?
I wanted to try it on the... No, it wasn't the first time. It was the first time on version 8, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
But it was really cool. And I like, you know, the little icons and the little commands like, ooh, this is heavy if you're installing the dependencies and whatnot.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that type of stuff with
color. Yeah, it has a little friendliness to it. It feels Infinite Red, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We like to add friendliness in pretty much everything we do. Like, even if it's just like a couple emojis in here, some fun, jokey language, like we just like to make things friendly.
Yeah, totally. The first thing I want to talk about is the massively expanded documentation. Mm-hmm. This is really huge. Amazing. Yeah. So Ignite's documentation has always been a little,
sparse,
you know, a little lacking, mm-hmm. unfortunately. We know how to use it internally, but we didn't really document it for the rest of everybody.
not out of like neglect or just like, oh, we don't think it's important. It's literally just finding the time, because documentation is not trivial to sit down and do.
It's true.
And it being open source and us working on client projects, it just never got to the level that we wanted, but we really dedicated time to it this time.
Yeah, and there were people at Infinite Red that really worked hard on it. Silas Mattson, Julian Glukenko, Frank Calise, a lot of people who put a lot of time into the documentation. And that will be an ongoing effort as well.
One thing, if I can just sneak in, that I think is really cool is that Silas, who you mentioned, who did the lion's share of the documentation, mm-hmm. is not primarily a React Native developer until very recently. He's still pretty new to React Native, which I think was actually a really cool trait to have when writing the docs, because he came at it from a very fresh perspective.
Yes.
So he really got detailed and made sure that it's very beginner friendly.
He caught a lot of stuff. I remember early on when he was going through the docs, he would always like create issues and be like, hold on, isn't this like a required prop or something?
You're like, actually, yes. Later.
Like, actually, yeah, you're right. Here's a pull request for that. Yeah.
Stuff that we tend to sort of take for granted.
Writing docs makes your code better, because when you when you're forced to sort of think it through from that perspective, it's just you have to be more thorough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being thorough, you know, in the documentation, the components have the different variations of it, and those are usually the best documentation tools out there. The ones that have all the different variants and how they affect your app. So that's really cool that it's in there for the different components.
Speaking of revamped components, we have redesigned the screens and everything that you first see when you spin up your Ignite app. Completely different. We have all new designs from our fabulous designer, Jenna. Jenna Fuji.
Thanks, Jenna.
Yay. Thank you, Jenna. Looks fabulous. Completely new color scheme, new fonts, new images, everything. It looks fantastic. We've added a dummy sign-in screen, which sort of gets
I've wanted
you,
this for a long time.
Which gets you part of the way towards sign-in, which most apps have some version of sign-in.
Mm-hmm.
So a new sign-in screen, new welcome screen, new drawer example.
Mm-hmm.
In addition
tab
to...
Tab bar navigator.
Yeah. Tab bar navigator. We have a special demo list screen, which has episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, this podcast. You could be listening to this podcast through the demo screen in Ignite
you
right
can
now.
Even favorite your favorite episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a cool little animated like button, which I built myself.
Yeah, it's super cool. You need to go check out the animated like button. It's cool.
The real star of the show is the showcase screen, which has all of our component library.
It replaces Storybook.
Yeah.
Previously, some of us really like, some of us aren't as big a fans of. And so what we decided was we'll build something kind of, I would say, simpler. And this is all Julian's work.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Glukenko, one of our developers. He built out, or he kind of designed how the showroom was going to work. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to kind of work on independent components and then have a showcase of all the different components in one big screen.
And these components are intended to be fully customizable to whatever designs you're working with, which is important to us because every single project has completely different designs. So if you're using one of the sort of off-the-shelf UI libraries like UIKit and React Native Paper, those are great if you don't have designs or if your designer is specifically designing with those components in mind. But because we have different designs for every project, sometimes our designers do them, sometimes others, we really have to have ultimate flexibility to change colors, padding, everything. So that's what these components are designed to be.
I remember years ago, Robin, you worked on a project where the designers wanted a specific UI front end. I think it was UIKit, but then didn't use it when they designed. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it was very problematic because you were just sort of fighting it.
We were fighting it.
Even though UIKitten is a really good library.
Really great library, but we were like needing to customize it beyond what it was capable of being customized.
It wasn't intended for that. So our components are very much built for custom designs.
Yeah. And this is arguably one of the most important parts of your app because the UI UX aspect of it is very important for the user. You know, sometimes personally, I can speak personally, I stop using specific apps because it just doesn't look good kind of thing. I'm hesitating here because I can see those apps in front of me right now and I'm like, ugh. So like, this is very important that it's very flexible. You're not, you know, like Robin mentioned, kind of almost pigeonholed to a specific library. You have a lot of flexibility to go in any direction you want. And you also have the ability to just completely, you don't even have to rip it out necessarily. You could just add in your React Native Paper elements, UIKit on top. And then instead of using, I believe we, you know, directly import them from React Native, you just go straight into and use that component library's version. And you already have your designs, your templates, your spacings, your colors, and it's all already there for you.
Yeah.
You probably just fix your TypeScript errors wherever they pop up based on that.
I get questions of like what are the best patterns to use for these types of things? And I just point them to Ignite. It's like, this is what we do. And and people love it. It's very well thought through. Through a lot of pain, really. I mean, that's we got there through a lot of pain and a lot of discussions.
I don't know if you mentioned it, but shout out to Julian for, you know, spearheading this aspect of it.
He's what I call a UI wizard.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah.
He refuses to come on the podcast, though. I'm going to make him listen to this, at least. He's going to listen to this, but he does not come on.
I'll work on getting him on here.
He won't. He's not going to do it.
He's stubborn.
He's stubborn.
We love you, Julian.
Another big piece of this is that in the past, you could use... It was really cool. You could use Expo, or you could use what we call vanilla React Native CLI, also known as Bare Workflow. Depends on what you know, because Expo is kind of part of it no matter what, even if you go that direction. But you could use kind of like the managed Expo versus the, you know, like using Xcode and Android Studio to build your app. But now, thanks to a bunch of work by Frank Calise, we actually unified the two, Expo and Vanilla, so that now when you spin up a new app, you don't have to say, do I want Expo or do I want, you know, Expo Manager or do I want Vanilla? It just works with both. So if you want Expo, you just say yarn expo colon start. And if you don't want Expo, you can just say yarn start, or let's say yarn iOS or yarn expo colon iOS. So you just tell it which one you want to launch it in, which is really nice for like initially spinning up your ideas and working on the UI and things like that. And then later, as you get into it, you're like, you know what? I'd rather go with more of a bare workflow. No problem. You just switch over to using Yarn iOS and it just starts using there. Yarn Android starts using that. And it's really flexible. You know, back in the day, like Expo, you had to eject and things like that. You just don't have to do that anymore. It works fine the way it is. And this is something that I'm excited about a lot of features within Maverick. And this is definitely one of the, I would say, top five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really convenient. We've already used it spinning up this new client project that we just started, because we started out just using Expo Go. It was just easy. And then we had to add a native package. And so we just switched over.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked on this podcast about, you know, soon, or it's actually available now because we're using the right version. You can use Unimodules to be able to use those packages within Expo. So if you do both linking and using that, you now have the ability to jump back and forth between the two. I would recommend at some point sticking to one over the other, but you still have that ability to jump back and forth as much as you need to.
Right. Yeah. It's a really nice enhancement. Frank did a great job on it. Speaking of other really nice enhancements, Mazin did some amazing work with an internationalization support.
This Mazin guy sounds really cool. Who is it?
Mazin Chami. I don't know him. He's a lit co-host, and he also worked on this. Walk us through what all you did here. You're an Arabic speaker, and it's a right-to-left language.
Yeah, so Arabic is my first language. Grew up speaking that at home, and then, you know, at school, we spoke English. But the objective here was to kind of get the app working in both RTL and then obviously LTR, which is the normal. And there was some cool stuff we had to do because there's a React Native plugin where you just tell it, you know, is RTL, and it'll flip everything for you on the axis, on the Y axis.
But there's, right?
X axis, yes. Sorry.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what
it'll flip
it
everything.
You're flipping it
horizontally.
No. Right. No, but you're flipping it around the Y axis.
You're flipping it on the Y.
Because X would flip it upside down. Y is the
vertical. I don't know if that's how you say that.
Yes, because
how about this?
I promise.
We flip everything.
You're talking
as if you're looking at it from a mirror.
You're flipping the X.
What? No, but you're flipping it around the Y axis.
Yeah.
Around the Y axis, but is that how you say that?
Yes, that's how you say that. Jamin, you're talking to a math major.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
But I'm still going to Google it.
Editors, please do not cut this part out. Keep it.
Of course, Todd will.
So yeah, React Native will automatically flip it for you so that everything now starts coming from the right-hand side. So the drawer that was mentioned before now pops out from the right-hand side and then will close towards the right-hand side. You know, in English, it's the left-hand side. So that was actually really cool to see. And that's available across the board because there's some pieces here and there where you need to handle the writing direction.
Jamin's looking so skeptical.
No, see, everybody on the internet.
You trust everybody on the internet?
Says Robin's right. So I don't know.
You're just trying to find one person that says that.
But the thing is, you're not flipping anything on.
Yes, you are.
The Y axis. The Y axis stays the same.
All of
the values stay the same. Only the X values change, right?
Right. The X values change because you have flipped something around the Y axis.
Yeah, but
imagine it's like there's like a hinge and it's like a vertical hinge, right? So you can like.
Yeah. That's not how I think about it.
Well, then you think about it wrong.
I guess. Okay. We're so sidelined right now. Man. Let's move on. I think it's amazing, by the way, the whole right to left stuff.
It's just not something you see very often.
I also had no idea that it's not just the text.
Right.
Like
it's the it's the thing, the interactive parts of your app, the drawers, like everything.
Like swiping back. Like I'm gonna swipe back. Normally you start on the left side and you swipe your thumb to the right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With right to left.
It's the other side. Everything is different.
You go from the right. And you slide to the left, and that means back. Like, it breaks my brain a little bit.
The crazy part is, if you just look at the screenshots we provided, you'll notice the time is no longer in the top left; it's now in the top right.
Like your status bar, like in your OS,
flips on the Y axis.
That's wild.
Okay, yeah, it's amazing.
So, huge shout out to actually my mom for proofreading my Arabic.
I thought you were going to say yourself.
Well, you should.
Huge shout out to myself.
Also, Mazin's mom, though, helped make sure that the Arabic was, you know, 100% because
Google Translate is not reliable.
You listen to Mazin, you're like, there's no way he's like, English as a second language. His accent is like perfect, perfect American accent. And the first time I met Mazen, I was like, really? You grew up in Nigeria? Like, you speak Arabic? Like, how is this possible? You sound like it was really cool that she could be involved in this as well.
I also definitely had to beg Mazen for help a lot because VS Code does not know what to do with right to left languages. It and so I'd out. Be like, yeah. Mazen, I need to add translations to the locale files again. Can you help me?
Because if you're selecting, it's
completely
like
broken.
Left to right and start dragging, you have to drag right to left. But then if there's an English character in the middle, which there's some words you can't really translate into Arabic, it would bug out in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, very broken. Yeah.
So, إذا بتحكي عربي بتتسمع على البودكاست, please about لي رسالة على Twitter. So that's for all you Arabic speaking
people. We have no idea what he just said, so.
I have the translation in front of me, but yes.
And then also, we can't forget Leon and Kate Kim, who did the Korean aspect of it.
So we added Korean as well, which is a left-to-right language. So that is, that was a little bit easier of a translation process. But it's nice to see three languages in Ignite right out of the box. You don't have to think about it. Like, that's a big thing. Like, I want to add, I guess we should have internationalization. Okay, well, let's kind of I'm sure there are Arabic speakers who are listening to us right now, or let's say any right-to-left language, where they're like, yeah, they switched the words, but like the rest of the app doesn't feel right because, you still have to swipe the wrong way and blah, blah, blah. Where this will be like, no, this feels like it was built by an Arabic software team. That natively speaks Arabic and natively understands the situation.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of right to left languages that have, other than Arabic, you have Hebrew, you have Persian, you have Urdu. So there's a lot of languages out there that would need the support.
And they benefit from this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would go so far as to say that Ignite is now the canonical example you should be looking at if you are doing right to left. You should be looking at what we did and understanding what we did.
Do a global find for is RTL, and you'll see a lot of the scenarios where it's like one-off scenarios where you actually had to translate X differently because of RTL.
See, X. All right, let's move on. New component showroom. So this is a big one. We removed Storybook.
Yeah.
We talked about this before, so I'm not going to go too deep into it, but you just got to go check it out. It's like, it's really cool the way that, not only the way it looks when you're browsing through the device, but also how the code itself works. So Storybook is inspired by Storybook for sure. So there's some similarities, but it's simpler and just sort of more straightforward. It's what Julian, who built it, really likes to, he does this on his own projects anyway. Mm-hmm. When he builds, he'll kind of make his own version of Storybook. So now we call this the component showroom, and that is now in Ignite. A very cool system, and it's totally yours. Like, it's built into, it's not like a runtime or exactly. dev dependency or anything like that. It's just in your app.
It's just a screen with components on it. Really cool. There's no like mode that you have to enter to be in Storybook mode. It's just right there. You can even keep it if you want and just like have it accessible only via a special dev menu if you want, and just keep adding to it. That's one option. Or you can remove it entirely, also an option. Yeah, super cool.
Robin already mentioned the new login screen. In addition to that, we actually have code that is the authentication flow. So not only do you need to be able to log in, but you need to have kind of an authentication flow. You could plug in different types of authentication, like processes. And I'm going to be teaching a workshop, and I'm going to actually implement into an Ignite Maverick, version 8 app, an actual authentication flow using Firebase email password. So that's pretty fun. What's cool is there's placeholders for all that stuff. You can just, it's all like stubbed out right now. So you can just drop in your own authentication, just keep rolling. And it uses MobX state tree for the global state so that you can, say, I'm authenticated now. And then the app will navigate to the right spots and you can access the right spots.
We actually did just that. On my client project. We used the screens and like modified them to meet our designs. And they were previously using just like a context in order to store the auth token they got back from Auth0, which is the provider they're using. Mm-hmm. And they switched it to using the auth store that comes with Ignite, and it's working great.
It's fantastic. So Ignite, when you generate a new app, it will ask you if you want a bunch of demo screens. And it allows you to, if you decide to have those in there, you can actually remove them later too with a command. If you run npx ignite cli remove dash demo, it will actually remove the demo code from your app and give you sort of a stripped down, streamlined experience so that you can build something from the ground up, but having all of the defaults, having all the navigation stuff set up, authentication flow, all that stuff, but just without all the stuff that you would probably have to go in and manually delete. This is a really cool thing that Frank Calise and Josh Yose, who both work at Infinite Red, worked on. And I'm really excited about that too, because that was always a big question. Like, do we include kind of the kitchen sink everything and then make people rip it out when they don't want it? Or do we give them something really stripped down that when someone spins it up, they're like, well, this isn't giving me anything. In this case, we can give them both. We can give them the kitchen sink when they want it and then strip it out when you don't.
You remember when Ignite went through its plugin phase?
Yes, I do.
That was terrible. We originally had a kitchen sink approach, and then we're getting some criticism about that, and people weren't liking that they had to rip stuff out. So we went to this like plug-in approach, where if you wanted maps or all sorts of various extra features, you would add a plug-in. But all of these plugins were NPM packages that we then had to maintain and update. It was terrible. I think this is really the best of both worlds, where we give you everything, and then we make it really easy to remove with a single command.
And you can also ignite your app without it in the first place. So they're in the interactive CLI that we mentioned. I think that's the last question I'll ask you. If you want the demo, the demo stuff, you could say yes or no.
Right.
And there you go.
So like for those of us who don't really need to see the demo stuff, because we're just going to rip it out right away, you can just skip it.
Although I want like the login screen and things like that. So you can, because of the way we implemented that, you just have to go read the docs, but the way we implemented the demo, you can go in there and delete some markup.
You can customize
some of the files.
You can customize exactly what gets removed. Yeah. It's really,
so you just
really
remove
slick.
A little bit of markup. It's like at demo remove file, and you just like delete that line, and that file won't get removed anymore when you run the command. So pretty cool stuff.
Very cool. Thank you to Josh and Frank.
Yeah. There's a ton of more. By the way, I want to call out specifically Kate Kim as well, who works with us. She's one of our software engineers. And she did a lot of work on the components and the showroom. And also implemented a really cool feature for our templates and our generators.
Front Matter.
Makes a much. Yeah, it's called Front Matter. And it's much more powerful now.
Very, very useful.
Yes. She's working with you now on your project, Robin, and I know you ran into a situation where you needed something more powerful, more complex within your project, and she was able to help with that.
Yep.
We are pretty much out of time. Actually, probably were a while ago. So we're only halfway through our list. I'm going to just skim through the rest. There's some new, really powerful generators. There's a splash screen generator. One of the annoying things about splash screens, man, say that
fast.
Is that you often like, what sizes do you need? Where do you need to put them? How do you link
so
them
annoying.
In? Always annoying. Where now you can just run a Ignite command and it will pull up from one image. It will actually generate all the different sizes and boot splash, expo splash screen uses all that stuff. There's a new icon generator, which is very similar, where you can provide it a file and then it will generate all the different app icons so that your app icon is what you want. As mentioned, we have new navigators, a tab bar and new drawer. We have that new demo podcast screen, which you may be listening to this podcast through at this moment. There's a new debug screen, which is very cool. It gives you some debug information. Also integrates with Reactatron, which is a desktop app for debugging React Native apps that we released. And so definitely check that out. There's a new crash reporting interface. Every app needs crash reporting. You should always have crash reporting. So there's an interface for implementing and actually example code for Crashlytics, Bugsnag, and Sentry. All built into that. You can also choose your own and just drop it in. But those are the ones that kind of come with it. New error boundary component. We updated MobX State Tree and the Reactatron integrations. I did a bunch of kind of refactoring in the code there to make it a little bit more like what we would do in an actual project. We added reanimated. Right now it's reanimated 2, but we're going to upgrade to reanimated 3 at some point here. We upgraded React Native and Expo to recent versions, not the most recent, but very recent. What we basically do is follow Expo's version. So whatever Expo supports is what we support. Fairly recent. We enabled Hermes by default. We did some other navigation cleanup. The CI and tests are much faster now, thanks to work by Josh Yeo's. Many bug fixes and developer experience improvements. So if you want to use it, go to infinite.red/ignite. You can also use it in your terminal. npx ignite-cli, new, and then whatever the name of your app is, like pizza app. But yeah, just go to infinite.red/ignite and it'll redirect you to the GitHub page, which you can find all of our new documentation and stuff like that.
The more people use it, the better it'll be.
Totally. Please fill out issues.
Yeah, please file issues if you find them. Mm-hmm.
And also reach out on the Ignite channel in the community Slack for the Infinite Red community Slack, because there's a lot of developers out there that are currently using it and talking about how to solve some stuff that's coming up.
That's a big piece of Ignite, is just the community you get with it. And since everybody's using the same stack, you get a lot more help. Community.infinite.red. React Native is a little bit fragmented in some ways. By using Ignite, you get all this, like, oh, everybody's using this and they're going to help you out. So you can also find a new Twitter community, rntwitter.infinite.red. You can find us online at Robin_Heinz, at Jamin Holmgren, at Mazen Chami, and at React Native RDIO. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our designer, Justin Husky, our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsor, Chain React, also our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at chainreactconf.com and infinite.red/react-native. Thanks to all of you. Make sure you just subscribe. Give us a little rating if you can on your podcast app. Really appreciate that. Robin, do you have a mom joke to take us out?
What does Charles Dickens keep in his spice rack?
I don't know.
The best of times, the worst of times.
Okay.
No, not even a chuckle? Okay.
And out.
See ya.